the Social Fishing Members Podcast, your exclusive access to freshwater content. Welcome everyone back to another member podcast chat. Apologies, we haven't had one for the last couple of weeks, but we're going to get stuck into some yellow belly chats. We're obviously halfway through spring already, so I apologize we didn't get these out a couple of weeks ago, but we've got plenty to talk about regards to yellows, and I'm also going to produce some, hopefully some trout ones over the next few weeks as well. So Dan, got you on board for me. Chat about this one. We're going to be talking, remember the podcast is all about slightly different things. We've obviously got our main content in form of articles and videos, which talks about your general basic rules on chasing yellows, wherever it be. Same with cod, same with trout, all those species. These chats are a little bit, normally got a little bit of a twist on them where we try to discuss things, where we want to learn different things. This one's about yellows, banks or edges versus trees, and what makes them do one over the other, and why are some dams so tree orientated, whereas some dams are both and other dams are very edge orientated. But usually when there's trees there, they go to the trees at some form or some shape or form. So can you run me through your reasoning for wanting to talk about this?
Yeah, this is another one of those saved conversations, one that started last week and we went, that's a great chat to share. And I think it is. And mate, my idea, my question to you, my thinking, and it comes up every season, is I fish Burrinjuck a lot. And I just wanted to try and work out why the yellows, and really the cod as well, are so tree orientated up there. What makes the difference between Burrinjuck and other places? Like Windermere's got stacks of trees, but they will move to an edge, right?
Yeah.
Every single spring, this water starts to warm, the edge bite starts. It's very rare for an edge bite to occur with any sort of consistency at Burrinjuck. They just don't flock to the edge like they do in other places. And if it does happen, it usually happens earlier in spring rather than later. So it's something that will often happen, and it didn't really happen this year. It's something that usually happens if we get a really warm end to winter or a really warm start to spring. They'll move to the edge and feed really, really well, but it lasts a couple of weeks and then they're gone. They'll push back out of the trees again. So it's like they snap out of winter and go up on the edge and soak up that warm water and feed on whatever's hanging around up there, but it's super short window. You can't go, I've never been able to go more than twice. So you can go 2 weekends, find them on the same spot, go the third weekend, they're gone. They've moved on. My question is why? Why in that place in particular, it's got some fantastic rocky edges. Why do they still not move to the edge consistently? Why is there not an edge bite in Burrinjuck?
I think you got to look at, too, for everyone listening, you got to remember every lake, the fish behave so differently. Like, it's crazy. Do you notice this in the salt when you go chase flathead in the south coast to the mid north coast, like flathead, because yellows are yellows, right? So you can go catch them and you can grab them on trees, and they're on trees in one lake and they're on trees in the next. But if you really dive deep in the freshwater environment, the fish behave, especially cod, but yellows as well, they behave so different in every single different system. So let's look at Wyangler, for example. Why is it not a trophy yellow fishery? Why is Wyangler full of little yellows? Like, why? Why do they not get big? Is it the fact that it's overpopulated because they spawn? Most of the times, the fact that you don't have big fish is because you have an overpopulation for the food. But the Wyangler is chockers with food. Masses of food. But maybe there's not enough food. Or maybe there's not enough food to get them big. Or they spawn so they spawn so well, so there's so many little fish feeding. They just don't get big.
I think it could be runting, what they call runting, where they're basically there's too many fish in that level of the food chain. They don't have enough tucker to grow out. I can't think of any other reason.
Which is why it'd be such a good fishery for the cod, because they got all these perfect size bait fish for them. Which is why they get big. And then you got to look at Burrinjuck, obviously very heavily tree dam. Then you look at somewhere like Eildon that has a mixture of heavy trees and spindly trees. But the cod, you don't find the cod on the trees, really.
No.
We're going to say almost none, but maybe 2%. Right? So they're all free roaming. The yellows are a mixed bag there. They definitely hold on the trees, but there is a definite edge bite at Eildon.
Yep.
By far. Yep. They flock to the banks at the right time through that spring period. And they will... And that's what you're talking about. Why don't they all flock during that warm period when they go to spawn? Why do they not leave the trees
and sit on the edges? That they don't... I'm not saying that they don't get on the edge, because they do. You can go and target them on the edge, but you are going to catch like massively less fish if you just stick to the edges, right? You know, you can plug away, and every now and then you'll find this little patch and go, okay, cool, amazing. That was a great little edge bite for an afternoon or something like that. But they just don't move in any numbers. I mean, when you look at like Barrandong's another one where they'll move, and they'll move in massive numbers off the trees onto the edge. More on the edge than the trees.
Yeah, but then they go back.
That never happens at the Jack. Yeah,
they go back, whereas some lakes like Windermere, they'll stay on the edges for ages. Yep. All year round, you'll catch on the edges. Windermere's a hard one to compare the two, though, because it's the one lake that has a steady weed growth. And I think that could be a reason as to why the edges are so good there. I'm going to say that could be Windermere's reason. But Hume... Hume's another one. I don't know how many fish actually... They definitely go to the edges, but it's another one where I don't think you would ever have a super successful edge bite, similar to Jack. Hume?
Yeah.
I don't think you would...
Yes, no. I haven't seen it down there on the edge. I've never had it either. In the right time.
Yeah. They don't really... I've caught them off the edge there, but not many. Usually off laydowns on the edges. So Hume's another one where they're very tree-orientated year-round. Eildon, definitely not. Blowering, they're still tree-orientated, but there's barely any trees in there. They literally will hug, and they're spindly trees. Like, they are a fish that just love standing timber, but then they will move to the edges because those trees become too hot where they are, and they will just scatter all along the rocky banks. Same thing, they're hard to find a good bite except for that one spawning period. Chaffy, same thing. They'll go to the edges. There's standing trees in there, but they'll have a mixture of both. So what
Copeton's got a good edge.
What forces fish to do one over the other? Is it food? Everything's driven by food, reproduction, and survival. Right, they can survive on a rocky bank. The rocky banks are nice of a jack, so it can't be that reason.
Yep.
Is it a... it could be to do with water temperature stability as well, as we're just probably going to include that. And that could go for the bait fish or the food as well as their comfort levels, because yellows are fairly particular with their stable water. So is it that Barrandjuck's edges fluctuate a lot? I can't see. It's not like it's in a hot area compared to Barrandong. It's hotter. Is it just a food source?
Well, yeah, but is it though? Like, I can't see how there is less tucker up against the rocky edge
than
there is on a tree.
Do you see much stuff on a tree?
Well, I've once done some underwater footage up at the Jack, and you can see a lot of like small bait fish. I actually don't know what variety they are.
Be like a smell, you know, a gudgeon or something.
Yeah, something like that. And so you do see them, you know, hanging around in the hollows and things of those submerged trees.
Yeah.
There's not masses of them. I don't know, we talked about this the other day, how the shrimp have declined a fair bit. I know that a lot of shrimp used to hang around those standing trees as well.
Yes, they did.
Because you used to get them in a shrimp pot. You know, I don't know how there could be more food there. The only thing, I mean, to me, it comes back to, and I haven't actually compared it to other lakes, have they just got used to that whole dropping water thing through spring and summertime, where they just drop the guts out of it for irrigation, which, you know, if you're on a standing tree that's in 20 metres of water, you can stay on that tree for months at a time.
Yep.
If you're going to hang on a rocky bank, you know, do you just get sick of being pushed around by the dropping water?
You got to reset all the time. Rocky bank might turn into a next. You got to travel to find the next good feed zone because the fish move possibly. Yeah, Hume drops quick, very quick.
It does, which is why that sort of, you know, that sort of works in
Hume's
that that theory
are very
works.
But featureless though, Hume's rocky banks are very similar, and I don't know how well you can hide in it, like as a bait fish. I just don't know.
No,
and the
that's
gradient.
Right.
The gradient's quite gentle, so the problem
it's
with Hume
rolling
is
hill
that
country. Yeah,
yeah. For Hume, for the fish to get from 3 to 5, they're actually to cover a lot of water. So to me, it's like too much energy to do that, and then your bait will spread out. Like your bait's not focused in a certain water column because it just doesn't have quite the steepness, I guess.
Yeah.
And Juck has a lot of that too. It's got a lot of steep, but in certain areas, the fish would have to travel a long way to get from those sort of more rolly stuff to the steeper stuff, depending on where you are.
Yeah, it does have some flat open banks or flat bays.
But then again,
which are really
talk about up
broad.
The Digby, there's plenty of steep stuff.
Heaps. Yeah,
so
it's more steep up there than anywhere.
Burrendong's not all that steep either. They got a lot of rolly banks, and they go onto those rolly banks to feed in the spring. So is there more? And this can happen. We
do
don't
they go
know.
Just at Burrendong though? Don't they sort of tend to congregate more on the rockier, steeper sort of banks up there?
Yeah. Well, this year we went. I don't know what percentage it was. We got them off some sort of. It was steeper, but there were clay.
Yeah.
Rolly sort of clay edges. We got them off rock as well. But there was a lot of flatter. So we got them off. There was one bank we killed it off. It was a flat point. It wasn't all that steep at all. They were up there looking for food, but they're very close to standing trees. They're adjacent, so they quickly could go from a tree to the edge, even for an arvo session and back, if they really wanted to. But they go. I know there's a period there, and it depends on the water level as well, but I knew there were periods where they would school in hundreds on, like in football field size schools in 4 to 5 meters, blanket in the bottom, but they weren't particularly steep at all. Sometimes they were flat spots, like flat points,
okay,
like out in that right depth to start spawning. So they're schooling up to spawn, but they would feed prior to spawning. Whereas Juck, they just do that on the trees. They just cloud up in the trees. Blaring's the same thing. They will go to a meeting point, kind of like what happens at Blaring. They do that at Burrendong. They will go, they will move from elsewhere to this one meeting group of 100
fish. Start finding each other. Yeah.
To spawn in that same spot every year. Well, they do it at the same spot every year in Blaring. I don't know if they do it in the same spot at Burrendong. I'm keen to hear from people who fish Burrendong more often. But definite edge bite. So does that ecosystem... Does that ecosystem just harbour more food that goes shallow? For whatever reason, for every lake is so much different to the next, do the bait source go to that area at that time of year because of something in the water? There's more of a different type of bait. Is there more yabbies there? There's a lot of clay at Burrendong mixed in with the rock. They get that at Juck too, but there's a lot of red clay at Burrendong, or a bit of it.
Yeah, we don't really have any what you call yabby bank clay.
So
there's a few spots of that red stuff. I don't know, because we did have a couple of seasons back on the back of all that wet weather where we had yabbies crawling all over the banks at the Juck. Dozens and dozens of them. You can spotlight them with a spotlight during the night. It was January when I seen them. And we still caught them consistently off the trees, not off the edge.
Yeah.
Which is really, you know, what's holding you back? If you've got this food source that's crawling around the edge,
there are a lot of good trees. Burrendong's probably the only one you can compare it to with the amount of good, solid, heavy trees. Eildon has them, but it has to be low at height. It's all spindly trees. Obviously, the Delatite has a lot of big, heavy trees. But why do they go to the edges?
Windy's got them. Windy's got those river gums.
I think Windy's food.
They've got the weed.
The weed would be the best source of food, and those fish would know that. And they're like, "Well, why would we sit on a tree when we can feed in the weed?" That's a given. Burrendong and Eildon are probably two good comparisons. Eildon, though, why do they go from the heavy trees in the Delatite to the rocky edges in November, December? Why?
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, I always just assumed that it's a food thing, yeah? Because it, once you get to November, you're getting into some pretty optimal water temps right across the, you know, that top section of that arm. They're not necessarily chasing any warm water anymore, which is why I think the reasoning that I thought that the Burrendjuck fish moved in early season, early spring, when it's warm, is just to try and chase down that heat or chase down something, you know, a smaller food source is chasing down that heat.
Yeah, that probably makes sense.
But, you know, but if you're, you know, if you've got places like Eildon that are, you know, in November, there's got to be food everywhere. Or, I don't know, maybe there isn't.
Yeah, well, maybe go back to Blairing too. Super tricky one that throws a curveball because it's so random what happens. They all meet for spawn.
Yeah.
They're not there. Yeah. They're still not there. It's 20 degrees. They're not there. They will be there at some stage, and they will be at the right day, which only lasts for a few days, but the whole realm will last for 3 weeks. But the, on the 2 days of, there will possibly be over 150 yellows in that one on that one point. And I saw one or two the other day.
Yeah.
So do they go there because it's just an instinct for spawn? Because what if it's food based, why aren't they there now? Just munching. Maybe it's a spot that has just as much food as everywhere else. I never really see any food on that point, to be honest. It's not. But do they just go there to spawn? Is it an instinct that they do that to spawn?
Maybe it is.
So then in Eildon, is it the same instinct? They don't have a single point they go to, but is it an instinct that they all just gravitate towards the rocky banks, feed there because there's food there too, but is it just a gravitation to those banks to then spawn on those banks? Whereas the Burrendjuck yellows, do they not have that scenario because of maybe you're dropping water levels or because of flow? Obviously, Blairing, this happens right next to the dam wall, so they've got deep, cool water. They might have a bit of flow, possibly, probably not. But, you know, in Burrendjuck, is it that the water quality is just not optimum with the dropping temps? There's no... Because that spot at Blairing, no matter what level, they still can sit on it all the way down to 0%. Yeah. From 100 to 0,
yeah, that's right.
They can always sit in the exact same contour. So it's like a fail-safe. Yep. Like, we can always go there and spawn.
That's probably the one spot that if there was going to be flow, that's where it'd be. Because it's got to sort of get past there to where they're, you know, they're drawing water from that bottom end of the dam. So possibly, as the water's drawing, there probably is a little bit of water movement there. Where Burrendjuck fish, ridge. The juck fish are heading up the river.
Yeah.
Because naturally that's where their flow is going to come in. If we get big summer wet, the flow is going to come in from the river. So therefore, they can't just pick a point out in the basin somewhere or down near the dam wall somewhere. They're pushing. They move out of the main basin up into the river arms, looking for each other. But they're all doing it on the standing trees.
Yeah, but those fish live their whole life up in those river arms because of whatever scenario. It's optimum structure, food, whatever. There's not many of them down near the wall from what we know. Whereas Blairing, it's just must be an optimum area for them to actually live. Because they...
Yeah, but those... They will push, though. They will push from... They will push out of the main basin.
Yeah, of course. But what I'm saying is, like, a huge population of Blairing's fish actually live on the wall. So they need somewhere close to do their spawning. Especially when there's no river inflow. They don't have that instinct. I think the ones up the top of the lake would have an instinct to travel up into the flow. Because there is flow when they drop it in, but it's not consistent.
Yeah.
So Blairing fish are like, we spawn, this is our meeting point, like we all come together. It's always in the right water depth, whereas there's no meeting point. Because obviously you've got the Goodger Digby fish are different to the Bidgee Arm fish down the bottom of the Bidgee, the top of the Bidgee. There's no consistent meeting spot. Plus there's way more yellows in that lake, so there's way more spots to meet, you know, way more meeting points for them to spawn. So they use the trees. But I think it could, because we're only talking about spring now and spawning. But I think it has to be something to do with that consistency of the tree whenever it's moving, the water fluctuation.
Yeah, it just makes it easier for them to be able to move depths in up accordance to dropping water. I don't have in front of me how many centimetres a day it's dropping at the moment, but it's quite a bit.
Yeah.
And that's pretty consistent right through spring and summer. So maybe it is, maybe it's just an adaptive instinct for them to not congregate to the edge because it's too inconsistent. So year after year after year, after they're, you know, they grow into a smart enough fish to know what's going on, they go, you know, here we are again getting pushed down by this water level dropping.
Mm.
All my other mates that are, you know, smart enough, they're all hanging on the trees.
Mm.
And so they've just adapted their behaviour because of irrigation water. It'll be interesting. It'll be super interesting if it went 5 years of just consistently at, you know, 50%. Never going to happen.
No.
Not in a million years. But, yeah, I wonder if they would change. I know that if you get a couple of springs where it does sit at a steady level, there is actually weed in that place.
Yeah,
but okay. It's got to stay at the same level for two seasons in a row. Then you start to see it pop up when it clears up. Usually when it's drought seasons, like 2018, it was there. Small patches of weed.
Yeah.
But I fished that weed every time I went up there and never caught a fish out of it.
No.
Because they're just not adapted. They're just not used to that environment.
I wonder.
And I'm sure that weed would have been crawling with food, but they just never found it because they just didn't move up onto the edge to look for it.
But do they need to go find it if the food's still crawling on the trees? So this is what I come back to, is the Burrinjuck trees just so full of life because the trees are so complex, they're so big, they're so woody, they've got so much cover mm-hmm. in those trees in particular, compared to, say, Eildon.
So,
Eildon has those trees, and where it does have those trees, those fish live, but there are sections mm-hmm. of the lake where the water temperature might be more optimum for them to behave and survive, like the Delatite, where they might, they move off those trees because there's just not enough of the trees. So there's a huge population of fish. We can't mm-hmm. all be on the trees, not enough food. So some stay on the trees. A lot of us go to the rocky banks. Burrinjuck has enough trees to go around and share. It holds mm-hmm. the food it needs, and it makes sense mm-hmm. because the food stays there. So the yellows are there. So then the cod are there because the yellows are there and the food's there.
Well, maybe that's what it is there. Maybe it is the fact that the rocky banks aren't consistent enough for the bottom end of the food chain to live. Maybe they don't thrive there. Like you say, they thrive on the trees because the trees are more consistent. That dropping water every single year drives them, you know, it's not a good environment for the little crustaceans or the tiny little water bugs to live year after year on the rocks
or
on the edge.
Or is it good, but the fish have to work harder to get the feed? You know what I mean? If there's just as many fish on the rocks because they're spread, mm-hmm. fish you got to swim around and around. Whereas I'm on a tree, I can just wait or just swim up a little bit. Oh, swim down a little bit. Mm-hmm. They're lazy. It's an easier feed. There's enough of it on the trees, so why bother? Banks, lakes, where they've got big, heavy trees like Burrinjuck, but through periods where they're like, there's so many of us here, I'm not getting enough food. I've got to go to the edge in mm-hmm. spring. Let's bulk up. I know I'm going to get a feed.
Yep.
I'm going to have to work harder to get my feed. So let's go mm-hmm. do it. Let's get them. And then we'll come back to the trees once it gets too hot.
I'll throw this one at you. Usually this period of spring, it's been a bit of a stop-start spring, as we know. So it's not the most amazingly consistent weather. And it's not
Does
only
that ever
my
happen?
Experience.
Have we ever not? What are you talking about? That's normal.
Probably not in the last 10 years, it doesn't feel like anyway. But something that is noticed by guys running live tech is catching fish that are just suspended out in open water.
Yep.
Because
they would
they're
have always
super
been
active.
There.
They would have always been there. Yeah, but is there a food source that those fish are actually feeding on that's not related to a tree or an edge at all? Because some of those fish that are out suspended hanging water are the more active fish. You can go and fish a tree, right? And you got fish sitting on that tree. They might follow a grub or something like that and shy away. You put one over one of those fish that's hanging out 10, 20 meters from a tree and they're on it, race it and eat it.
Have you ever watched one without casting
out? Have I ever watched
what they're doing? Like for 10, 15, 20 minutes? Like where do they go?
No, but I'm going to now. Now that we've brought it up.
Because that will answer.
Because I'd love to see it.
They move slow.
If you see them,
they don't move
they
quick.
They do. Nope. But as soon as you put something over the top of them,
they race.
They're on it. So that's if we could observe that. So if we could observe a fish even over 10 minutes and watch him accelerate and then just stop again.
Yep.
There's something out there.
You know he's feeding, but I want to know if he goes from tree to tree. Does he just spend a whole 10 minutes doing randomness out there, or is he transitioning?
I know that they definitely do loops at the jark. I know that that happens because, and it used to happen pre-live. You would sit sometimes. You know, you'd have two boats, right? For a scenario, you'll sit one boat on one side of the tree, one boat on the other. What happens, and what we've been able to observe now, what we've been able to see, is these fish that are looping. So the boat sitting on one side of the tree gets nothing. The boat sitting in the loop on the other side of the tree is getting fish after fish. He's not getting fish that are sitting on that tree. He's getting fish that are moving from the tree behind him into this tree that's in front of him and back out again. The other guy sitting on the other side of the tree is missing out altogether.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, we know and we've seen them now where they'll actually loop around. You've got to have patience to actually watch them do it, but they'll just move in little packs of three or four fish doing laps, loops, figure eights, whatever it might be, in, around, among, in between trees. And I don't know, maybe there is some sort of food that's suspended out there. Maybe there is a bait fish or an insect even, or, you know, water fleas or whatever they might be that they're actually feeding on.
Maybe that loop, then they're going from tree to trees that are fairly close though, yeah. Not like 100 metres.
No, like 10, 15 metre loop. I'm talking.
So that's a quick loop. And obviously that if they are hunting those fish, they obviously know what water column depth they need to be in because of the time of year and the temperature. So instead of going up and down a tree, well, I'm going to be better off getting a feed if I just keep coming back and forth, especially if it's clear and the bait fish can see me coming. I'm better off just hunting, you know, back and forth. Those floaters you're talking about, I'd love to know if they're cruising in a straight line and they're going somewhere. So the question is, are they going between trees or are they just traveling? Because remember, yellows are travel specialists. They are one of the best species in the fresh. They are the best species for traveling. Rivers, they'll travel hundreds of kilometers. So obviously, we'll do that in DM too. They know what they're doing. They know where they need to go. So are they traveling, right? Are they traveling to go up and spawn? Are they traveling to come back from spawn? Are they traveling to the basin because summer's coming? Are they traveling up a river arm because winter's coming to get warm water? Watch it and see if it just keeps going. It might zigzag, but it might just go all day and travel.
Mm.
If they're traveling and something comes past them, I imagine you got to be opportunistic enough to grab it.
Yeah, well, that's an opportunity thing. Yep.
So there's two questions there. Is one, are they traveling? So, but if something comes near it, they've got to eat because I'm out in no man's land. So there's not really any fish out here. So I'm not actually feeding, but I'm using energy. So if something does come past, I'm going to nail it because I need energy to keep going for the day. Or are they actually out there looking for food? And I don't know if they are. I think maybe they're traveling, but because they're traveling, they're only going to travel after they've fed up really well on their tree. So they're on the tree. I'll eat for 2 days. Right, it's time to travel. I've got enough food to get me through. Right, I'm going to travel for all day. I'm going to travel until I know I need to stop. But because they're burning energy, if something comes past, I've got to eat it. I've got to smack that. It's dead. I need that food because I'm not in. Yeah. I'm out in the open. I'm not in a zone to be feeding. I know this is kind of counterintuitive because fish are either feeding me or not. But
yeah.
They know that if I eat that, right, I've got more energy to do what I do. Because they're not moving quick. They're going slow. And I imagine they go slow.
Yeah, but they're also on very much on their own. They're also isolated. So if I'm a fish who's moving, and the reason you're moving is for food or fornication, if you're moving to find where the spawning schools are...
Or just moving move.
Why are you moving on your own? I'm a schooling fish. I like to hang out with my mates. I want to have other fish around me. Why am I now suspended 3, 4, 5 meters from the surface, moving very, very slowly on my own?
Okay.
And so I have been able to watch them not moving in the same direction.
Doing like zigzags?
You'll have one fish that's swimming into you, one fish that's swimming away, another fish will come in from the side.
Yep.
You know, so it's not like they're moving from point A to point B all in the same direction.
No.
So why would there be a random movement if you're not driven by one thing or the other? You know, why would this fish go, okay, well, I need to swim upstream, and this guy goes, oh, no, I need to swim downstream?
Okay, so I think the first thing is maybe they don't communicate very well and they all have their own agenda. This guy hasn't been up there, so he doesn't know that there's no food up there, so I'm going to go that way because mm-hmm. I need to go that way because there's less fish up there. Or maybe it's because they're good at evening out population. You know, they're really good in rivers at evening out the population, right? Mm-hmm. They know when an area, like on the Wakul, they knew and they traveled to repopulate that area. So maybe 20 fish traveled down and they sense that the area is becoming too crowded now. You guys are idiots, so I'm going to go up where you were. Like, it could mm-hmm. be a whole manner of things. In spawn, mm-hmm. different, that they should all mm-hmm. be... Unless in spawn, they're going all different directions to find mates. So they're not actually moving big distances. Yep. They're just trying to mate. So they're going, I'm going to find this guy rejected me. This female's picked someone else, or I need to find a weaker female, or, you know, or the female's like, mm-hmm. they're too young. I need a better male. So I'm going to cruise off and get out of here. Why they mm-hmm. go by themselves, maybe every fish is in an individually different position right at that time. That fish is fed enough so that I can move on. You know, the other mm-hmm. ones didn't get enough feed. They're not in a good enough condition to travel. I'm going to travel because I think there's better food up there. I don't know. It could be a whole heap of things. Once they get there, they school to protect each other. But when they're in open yep. water, maybe they feel like they're fairly well protected because they know the cod aren't really out there. Why would a cod be out mm-hmm. there in full open water, 2 meters down in the sunny day? I'm pretty safe. I'm down far enough for the birds to not get me. I'm in a good water temp. There's no cod. If I swim slow, the cod's not going to feel me. The cod's probably not going to mm-hmm. eat me in the day. And I'm just going to go slow and save energy. But by nighttime, I've got to find some kind of structure and school to survive. Mm-hmm. If I'm not schooled, I'm going to die. But mm-hmm. I don't need to be schooled during the day. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't think they're out there feeding.
Okay.
They could be. They could be chasing daff now. I don't know. But
this is going to cost me hours out there just staring at fish now.
Watching them swim around. Because they swim slow too.
They do. Really slow. But I just know how aggressive they can be to the point where people that are struggling to catch them off trees. I know it happened a lot last season. We heard from members going, these fish that are on the trees wouldn't eat. So I went to target the ones that are wide, and every one of them was chased down a lure.
They're the trolling ones. They're the ones you can go troll with spoons or hard bodies.
Yeah.
They'll find it, feel it, race it down, eat it.
Hmm.
So
why if the food is better and more consistent on the tree, am I sitting on a tree and not eating, but yet I'm going to eat if I'm not?
Okay, so
I know that the theory does work, where you say, well, I'm out, I've been traveling all day, so, you know, and now I've got an opportunity to feed while I'm traveling for God knows what reason, because we can't work that out right now. Maybe.
Or they're feeding.
I'm going to have to find out.
It's very clear out there. You don't see big schools of bait getting forced to the surface.
No, you don't.
They could be feeding, but I highly doubt it, because I know Yell's a travel specialist, so those floaters must be traveling. So maybe... Yep. And they should ignore your lure. They should, but they don't. We know they don't.
No.
So I think they have to be maybe just opportunistic enough to go, whack, I'll eat. Because if you watch one that's a floater leave the tree and start floating, maybe it won't eat straight away. Maybe the ones you're getting have been floating for half an hour to 2 hours to 3 hours on their journey. And they might float.
Like a job for some fish trackers.
Float and then go through a tree and then keep floating. You know what I mean? Because they haven't reached their destination yet. I guess. So I just know they move around a lot. There are fish that are quite good. And see, when I first started chasing yellows, when I trolled, I was like, right, you got to troll on the rocky banks. You got to be down near the bottom, right where they're feeding, like on the edges. But you got probably got more chance. Well, it depends where you are, not a blaring, but a Burrinjuck in a tree lake or Hume, just trolling 3 meters down. They'll come up from five to something they can feel. The spoons that
they
you guys
travel
use
a long way.
Very cool.
Yep. I've watched him travel.
Matched Hume in the classic Troll and Spoons.
He did. Yep. He's a spoon specialist. He loves the spoons. Been doing it for years. And when I first got a couple of spoons off Bo and trolled them behind the live, the amount of water that those fish travel. Will cover to come up and have a look. And most of them, when they get there, they'll eat because you've got a worm hanging out the back of it. They'll travel 3 or 4 meters. And that's just the vertical ones. I don't know how far they'll travel from side to side. They've got a ridiculous amount of draw. And, I mean, they probably do that for a hard body as well. We just don't get to see it because usually the hard bodies are hanging out a bit further. So a fish that's switched on to feeding has got no issue. That is, yeah, so if you're, from a fishing point of view, they're the ones. You're better off trolling a lure 4 meters down than 8.
And you can be wide of the trees. Get close to them as well because you want to draw them off the trees, but you're likely just to draw those floaters. And some of those floaters you might not even see on your sounder because you probably spook them as you go over them and they could be really quite high, so they could dart. You might see them. You should be able to see them in 4 because they'll sort of just keep floating there. Sometimes it'll be hard to tell them apart from carp because carp will float too. But Hume and Jack, that's a place where that will work really well. That would work at Eildon as well, but see, Eildon, they go to the Rocky Banks, so I'd be trolling the Rocky Banks if you were to do that. So, I don't know if that floating thing was actually the topic of tree or not.
No. Well, it was more just to try and work out whether it's, you know, it is a feeding behaviour or, you know, that sort of thing. So, and the reason I brought that up was, if I'm a fish who is actually going to feed in open water, I'm better off to hang on that tree because the open water's there. You know what I mean? I don't want to live on the rocky edge.
That's what you were getting at.
And then have to swim out to the open water. I'm going to live out in the open water because the trees are out on the old riverbed in the middle of the water sort of thing. I'm going to live on the tree if I'm going to feed out wide. It's totally random. Like, it's totally... It doesn't sound... Right. I'm not a trout. I'm not out there eating Daphnia, right?
Yeah, trout out there feeding.
You know, that was one.
Maybe they are eating Daphnia. Have you ever, you've never pulled Daphnia out of one's belly, though, have you?
No. I pull a lot of redfin out. They eat a lot of small redfin up there.
Yeah, and the redfin would congregate. Do the redfin congregate in the trees or they congregate on the bottom a lot? Or once it gets warmer, they're on the trees?
Nah, they're flocking everywhere.
They're everywhere.
They do like to be up close to the bank or on the trees. But they'll also spread out right along the bottom. A lot of the bigger redfin actually hang on the bottom. Like they'll hang quite tight to the bottom, more individual fish, where the smaller ones are just schooling in massive clouds. There's heaps of them up there at the moment, in big clouds against the the rocks.
They're against the trees.
Yeah, they're against the trees, but they're against the rocks just as much, if not more.
Yeah.
To the point where the you know, a tiny 1-inch long redfin is then being pushed up to the edge by a redfin that's 6 or 8 inches long.
Yeah, okay.
And they're busting them out of the surface. Like they're smashing them against the rocks.
It's not yellows doing that. It's redfin eating redfin.
Nah, redfin eating other redfin, yeah.
Why don't the yellows do it? It's funny. And if you think about it, the edges you do catch them off at Burrinjuck are very close to a really good set of trees. They just go, they shift very close. They don't go far, which is stupid because they travel hundreds of kilometers when they want, but yet they won't do that to do that feeding thing and back. Like they'll do it, but they won't get a long way to feed to come back to their tree.
No, that's right. And I will always try and fish. Like even if I want to fish an edge, I'm sounding trees on the way into the edge to go, oh yeah, they're hanging out in the tree. So hopefully there's a few on the edge as well. But I beat my head against the wall every single season up there just to try and find that consistent bite, and I've had some great ones, some really really good edge bites, but it's always been early season. You know, they don't go like Windermere we're seeing at the moment where they're
better, better,
they're on that edge and they'll be there like consistently for, you know, a couple of months until it gets too hot and it pushes them
down
out
the bank.
They'll
still go down, they'll still be in the edge in 7 meters.
We don't get that.
See, Eildon, same thing. A couple of those good Della-type banks, there is some timber there. There's definitely timber there, but there's a couple of them they school up on. There's not much timber, and they school big time on those rocky points and rocky banks in big numbers. Yeah. and the timber's not super close. There's not a heap of it. There is timber there. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. They quite happily go there. I think that I don't know as to why, and maybe you could watch and maybe work out, but it's got to be something to do with the food source. Regardless, though, at the end of the day, I guess, is that we know how they behave in each lake, and that's what we need to, that's what we try to share through the content and what our team shares, and obviously the importance of the SF maps on the behavior of the yellows from season to season.
Yeah.
And we probably need to review all the SF maps and add a bit more detail into what they do from season to season. But if you read the Byron Jack info for chasing yellows and the techniques, you will read that trees are the winner there for cod and for yellows. Burrendong, you'll read that both, depending on time of year, Windermere, definitely edge place. We share all that. So at least we know that as to why.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't really know.
That's going to continue to bug me for many seasons to come, I'm guessing. But yeah, I think if you had to put it down to anything, it would be just that consistency or inconsistency of water level, meaning that it's not a great environment for your bottom end of the food chain to actually thrive.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, if you're in your winter slum where everything's, you know, you're not really breeding, even your tiny little fish and insects and shrimp and yabbies, you come around to the season where you actually are able to breed, spawn, and the water's dropping like crazy. Well, I'm no good hanging on the rocks. I'm just going to do all that activity out on the trees.
Yeah. Yep.
And that could be, it could be as simple as that.
And it's got a good enough tree dam. Like it's got trees everywhere. At every
masses of them.
Good and area.
Good, heavy, solid. Some of them are bloody 30 metres tall.
Yep. So, Burrendong's got good trees too, but Byron Jack's are better. Burrendong has a lot of trees, but I still think for spread out evenly in every zone of the dam, wherever the yellows want to stage, at whatever point, there's trees.
What's the outflows like in comparison between Burrendong and Byron Jack?
Far less. The catchment, the Bidgee is a much bigger river. Burrendong's outflows and inflows are far less. All catchments up north, northern basins, you've got nothing on the southern basin. The outflows of Hume and Blowering and Jack are the highest, and Dartmouth, which is all the Murray and the Murrumbidgee. Eildon, outflows are fairly high too. But Eildon drops theirs into the pondage, but then it comes out of the pondage. So that would regulate differently. Burrendong feeds... Oh, I had a mental blank. Is it Macquarie or the Lock? Macquarie. It's the Macquarie.
Yeah.
So, Macquarie is nowhere near the size of a river.
So, that kind of lines up.
Yeah.
That kind of lines up.
Yeah, it definitely goes through very drought periods. They would never be able to drop it to the same regard. I don't know about water capacity, because water capacity makes a difference, right? So, if you... Yep. Like the lake, even with less outflow, might actually physically drop more, because we're talking about elevation drop, like the physical movement of the mass of water. So if you've got big flat banks, they're going to drop quite a lot. But there's no way they can pump out 10,000 meg like they can out of Jack when they want to. So Byron Jack and Blowering are probably the two worst for Hume for rapid fluctuation.
And I guess if you look at it in the landscape of Byron Jack, it's deep in that basin area, but the river arms are actually reasonably shallow.
Yeah, so 10,000 meg a day.
Yeah, it means more as far as dropping water level height in Byron Jack than what it does in Blowering, because Blowering's got so much more capacity. So that kind of adds up.
Yeah, if you were to, like you said, if it was able to stay stable like Windermere. Windermere is one of the best edge fisheries, and it is the most stable lake of all. Okay, so you look at that, and then you look at Burrendong being, you know, in the middle there. It does drop a bit, you know, but it's, you know, it's got good edge, but good trees. And Blowering and Byron Jack are probably the two worst edge fisheries, to be honest, and they drop the quickest.
Yeah.
Hume, also a pretty shit edge fishery, drops the quickest.
But
Byron Jack and Hume both have really good trees, though. So
mm-hmm.
Blowering has not the best trees, so they are forced to
They
the
don't
edge.
Have an option there. Yeah.
So the edge bite is yeah, it is there, but it's still not that good. But I think that's got something to do with the population of fish. I think the I don't know what's going on there. They put a lot in. They put a lot in, but yeah, they yeah, the edge bite is can be good there, but there's no trees, so it has to be edge.
Yeah.
And then, but it's not a consistent edge bite by far. It's not amazing at all. Like, not at all. And then Eildon, it definitely drops pretty quickly, but it's a massive body of water. So the volume is not going to move. The water level's not going to move anywhere near as quick. But they...
The height, yeah.
Yeah, the height of the water. But they have a good edge bite and tree bite as well. Both. Good mixed. So it could be that. Could just be the fact that they drop it at a rate of knots.
Lines up.
Hmm. Interesting. Good chat. I don't know if we got anywhere, but I like the I like the floating fish theory. That was a good one.
Yeah, that's gonna give us something to do. Watch this space. There'll be a follow up.
Okay, there'll be a follow up.
Hey, look, there's worse things to do than go out. It's got to be a nice day though. I'm not going out there in the wind and crappy cold to watch fish for 20 minutes at a time.
When you do any experiment, you need to mix up the variables. So I think there needs to be a sunny day, a sunny windy day, a cloudy calm day, and a cloudy windy day.
No, I think I'm going to take all them out because they will travel regardless of the weather, okay? So all them other factors aren't going to come into it, all right?
Right.
So it's just going to be a nice warm day with a cold refreshment or two maybe, and I'll track them. I'll start a new track. I'll find a fish and I'll start a new track and we'll see...
Yeah.
I'll follow him for an hour and see what he does.
Definitely track it on your sounder. Yeah, and then find another one. Mm. Track it for an hour and another one. So do that for 10 hours for the day and that's your day done. And while you do that, I'll go fish the trees and see if they're active on the trees on that day and catch them while you track.
Yeah, catch 20 fish. Yeah. Nice.
But make sure you do track the path so you've got it rather than going, oh yeah, he went that way and then you get a map of it. Actually map it.
Yeah. What if he doesn't move? What if you lose in a big 20-meter loop?
Well, that's what we need to know. And then does the next one do that? And then if you find eight over an hour and they all just do loops, well, then we've got to come back.
And then we'll have to invest in some tagging apparatus and actually tag them and track them that way.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
And then, and then you probably need to do it once a month because they're going to do different things every month.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't have time for that.
Because spring, yeah, they will. They'll do different things. So if they're doing loops now, they might not be doing loops later.
Yeah, that doesn't matter though. All I need to know is what they're doing out there. If they're feeding, but how am I going to prove if they're feeding or not?
You need to.
Because even if you say opportunistic.
You'll see them eat something or you'll see them not. Yeah,
but is that just opportunity though? Like a lure that comes over?
Yeah, but if you do 10... And it only four eat something, then that's opportunity. But if they're eating every 10 minutes constantly, it doesn't help. That actually doesn't help. I think they're opportunistic. I don't think they're feeding. Unless they're doing loops. Unless all of them are doing circles in an area, then I'm going to say maybe they are feeding.
Mm. Anyway, that'll be an interesting one to try and work out a little bit more.
Mm. Awesome. Thanks for the chat.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers.